you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 20. Tonight I want to talk to you about where you put your trust. Just where do you put your trust? And we just sang a powerful song talking about the earth is filled with the glory of God. And our praise should be to the Almighty. But do you put your trust in Him daily? Now, I know theologically and as believers, we say up here, oh yes, I trust in the Lord. But do you in all things? Is there some area of your life that you've held back from God? You can have trust or confidence in a lot of things. Your confidence could be in a person. Your confidence could be in an event. Your confidence could be in something written or something manufactured, something spoken, or something felt. Your confidence or your trust could be in airplanes. You think, well, I wouldn't trust an airplane, but yet if you get on it, you have to do that. Your trust could be in ships or computers. Your trust could be in the stock market. Your trust could be in friends. Your trust could be in family members. How about this one? Your trust could be in your memory. How many of you trust your memory? Or your trust could be in the wisdom of man. I've got to read a few things to you I found that I think are quite interesting. Here's a quote. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. That was written by Western Union in an internal memo, 1876. Would you like to trust in their wisdom? How about this one? The concept is interesting, and it's well formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be feasible. This was a Yale University management professor in response to Fred Smith's paper proposing reliable overnight delivery service. Of course, Smith went on to found Federal Express. How about this from Gary Cooper? I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper said that on his decision not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind. Great wisdom. How about this one? A cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, the market research reports say America likes crispy cookies, not soft and chewy cookies like you make. That's a response to Debbie Fields' idea of starting Mrs. Fields Cookies. I really like this one. So we went to Atari. Anybody remember Atari? Some of you are too young to remember Atari. So we went to Atari and said, hey, we've got this amazing thing, even built with some of your parts. And what do you think about funding this? Or we'll even give it to you. We just want to do it. If you'll pay our salary, we'll come to work for you. Their response was no. And so they went to Hewlett-Packard and they said, hey, we don't need you. You haven't got through college yet. Of course, that was Apple Computer's founder, Steve Jobs, on attempts to get Atari and Hewlett-Packard interested in his idea of the Apple computer. Let me tell you, I have discovered in my own life that I cannot trust my own thinking. I have to trust in the Lord. But to say that and to do it is two different things. I know in my head I should trust in the Lord, but there are just some times I wonder, can I really do that? So if you would, let's look at a few verses here in Psalm 20, beginning with verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember what? The name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. In verse 4 here, the psalmist is giving a prayer asking God to give the desire of his heart. But there's only one problem. The desire of your heart must be the desire of God's heart. You can't misquote this verse and say, well, God will give me whatever my heart desires. Well, he will when it is in line with his will. He is looking not for what your heart desires. He's looking for his desire to be made real in your heart. So that whatever he's wanting and desiring, you are so in tune with him that you want what he has for you. You're going to put your trust in him. This verse is not a selfish look at life, but rather it's a self-denied approach to living God's way and not my way. You see, praise will come to the Lord when God is victorious with his plans in your life. That's when you can praise God, not when you accomplish something that you've always wanted to accomplish. When you praise God is when you accomplish something that you know he desired in your life, and now you've seen it come to completion. That's the real joy of the Christian life. The joy of the Christian life is not saying to everyone, look, I've achieved my goals. Look how successful I am. God must have blessed me. No, the joy of the Christian life is to see God do something in and through your life that you know you could have never accomplished on your own. And when he accomplishes that in your life, it brings fulfillment to you. Why? Because you know he's the only one that could have done it. There was no way in and of your own self that you could have accomplished that. Elaine and I have spent some time with a friend in Scottsdale, Arizona. His name is Dave. Dave is quite an amazing man. A few years ago, Dave was a major developer in the Scottsdale, Arizona area. And he would literally buy 1,000 acres of desert and develop it into golf courses and homes. Dave was worth multiplied millions of dollars. He had arrived. He had achieved everything he wanted to achieve, he thought. And then in one bad business deal, he lost it all. Can you imagine that? See, you can trust in your finances. But understand, if you can't trust in your wisdom or your memory, you may make a wrong decision that will eradicate every bit of finance you ever had. And that's what happened to Dave. He lost it all. He's a very prominent man in the area, in the Phoenix area. Very well known. He lost it all. He got to the bottom of the barrel in his life. He didn't know where to turn to except God. He knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but he hadn't been practicing following him. And it was in the depth of his falling that he discovered God was enough all along. And he began to rebuild his life based on not the principles he knew of how to be a successful businessman, but how to trust in the Lord. How to keep his mind and his thoughts on the Lord. And Dave began developing all this real estate again. And today, Dave is worth far more than he ever was before he lost it all. But let me tell you, there's a difference in Dave today. His purpose is no longer to be successful, to see how much wealth he can acquire. His purpose is to trust in the Lord and to take the resources God provides to him and use it for kingdom work. Let me tell you about some of the things God has done in Dave's life. Dave has about 150 investors. And Elaine and I were going to Scottsdale one year, and Dave called and said, Carrie, I know you're coming out for the board meeting, and I just wondered, could you and Elaine stay over on Friday evening, stay a couple extra days, and Thursday I will take you to my skybox at the Phoenix Open, and you can watch the golf tournament. And I said, well, I think maybe I can do that. You liked that, didn't you, Ronnie? Ronnie can't stand it when I get to do something he can't do. And then he said, on Friday night, could you stay over and go to a banquet? I said, well, what's this banquet all about? He said, well, I do this every year for about 150 of my investors. It's a banquet just to say thank you. And many of them are not believers, but I always center the whole evening around God and country. And we try to share the gospel with them. And so Elaine and I said, sure, we'll stay over and we'll come. And he said, well, I'll need your driver's license number and your Social Security number. And I said, well, what do you need that for? He said, well, George Bush is going to be our speaker for that night. Now, this was an incredible evening, one of the most awesome evenings Elaine and I have ever had. 150 people, there with former President George Bush. But to start the whole banquet, Dave's little 8-year-old granddaughter comes out on the stage and leads in the Pledge of Allegiance. And then it's like, 12-year-old grandson comes out, asks everyone to remain standing, and he leads in prayer. And from that moment through the rest of the evening, Dave and his team blessed and shared the gospel with those lost people. See, Dave has a different focus today. His trust is not in his finances. He has already known millions of dollars that he could lose. But now his trust is in the Lord. His goal, he has started a ministry group. His goal is to reach the top 0.1% of CEOs in America for Christ. He flies his private jet to pick them up and brings them to Scottsdale, plays golf with them, and shares Christ with them while they're playing golf. You want that job, don't you, Ronnie? But you see, he's a changed man. His trust is no longer in his success. His trust is not in his own abilities to acquire finances. His trust is in the name of the Lord and what God can do in a person's life that is wholly committed to him. In verses 6 through 9 here in Psalm 20, we see that God will protect his children. Now, the idea here is not to live your kind of life and then ask God to bless your ways. That's not what God's looking for. The idea is not to live your kind of life and then ask God to bless your ways. But it's to trust in His ways. You see, God blesses His ways, not your ways. And if your life commitment and career path is headed down trying to trust in your abilities, you are going to be greatly disappointed. There's probably not a person here who is an adult who hasn't had some career times that it just didn't turn out quite like you thought it would. And all that trust you had in your own things, your own abilities, your own ways, just weren't fulfilled. But the idea here is not to live your kind of life and then ask God to bless your ways. Really, for us, we're to place our trust in the name of the Lord. As we heard the pastor just a few minutes ago talk about the names of the Lord. You know, there's nothing in your life that God cannot provide. He is everything you need. As we hear in 2 Peter 1:3, God's divine power has given us how much? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that you need is in who God is. Those who try in their own strength to make things happen for God are going to be brought to their knees. And why? Because God will not let His servant believe that he can be successful apart from the power of God. Have you ever had those times in your life where you thought you were right on track, you thought you were right on the verge of making this great breakthrough in life, and then all of a sudden things fell? The bottom fell out. And sometimes it is that way because God knows the motives of your heart, and He knows that you almost thought you had arrived, and so He showed you that He can change your path. He can redirect your ways. In verse 7, we see a very famous verse of Scripture. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord. Now I want to read quite a few verses of Scripture. They'll be up here for you to follow along. You may not be able to turn to each one of those, but I want to read several to you that relates to chariots and horses in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, the Scripture says, "When you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Joshua 17:16. "But the children of Joseph said, 'The mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are Bethshean and its towns, and those who are of the valley of Jezreel.'" Job 39:21. "He paws," that is the horses, "he paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms." Psalm 33:17. "A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Though these are vain things for safety and not to be depended on, for salvation and victory are of the Lord." 2 Kings 23:11. "Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire." Hosea 14:3. "Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, 'You are our gods,' for in you the fatherless finds mercy." Now let me help you see the picture. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. But we as God's people are going to trust in the name of the Lord. Is that true this week? Will your trust be focused on God or in what you think you can get accomplished? Now, understand, in the psalmist's day, this was a great contrast. The contrast is this: from a soldier, a foot soldier, out on the battlefield by himself, or even with other foot soldiers, and all of a sudden here is chariots drawn by horses coming at them. Can you imagine? I mean, you're out there on your own foot. And these chariots and horses coming at you in war, it kind of puts you in your place. I mean, just the difference between a man by himself and then a man riding in a chariot drawn by a beast that could overpower you so quickly. This was a huge factor of some put their trust in these chariots and horses. They're so strong compared to a man by himself. But does God have any strength above a horse and a chariot? I'm going to have you watch something on video for just a moment. But while you do, I want you to think about the contrast between a man, horses and chariots, and what God can do. All alone, not too powerful. Quite a difference between a foot soldier. But just by the breath of God, He can overpower anything man can create. Where do you put your trust? You know, if Jesus can just breathe and bring peace on us, if God can just exhale a little bit and a great storm can overpower many states at one time, who should you put your trust in? God or the power of man? Well, I want to challenge you this week. As you go through your week, I want you to observe where you put your trust. You may notice that when you're coming to a stoplight. Do you put your trust in the brake pedal? You may do it when you're going to work thinking, I'm going to be very successful today because I've got all my work done, I've got everything planned out, and it's going to go my way. And then it doesn't. Where do you put your trust? So right now, I want us to do a little self-examination before the Lord. If you would, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and ask the Lord. Lord, do I really believe that you're stronger than that problem I'm facing right now? It may be a health problem, maybe a problem with a family member, maybe an issue at work that you don't know how you're going to survive it. Some put their trust in things of man. But for you and I, we need to put our trust in the name of the Lord. He's so powerful. He is so great. He is so awesome. All praise ought to go to Him. The earth is filled with His glory if you can just open your eyes and see His activity. If you're not seeing God at work, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, in your personal life, it may be that you've lost sight of the power of God and you're putting your trust in yourself instead of Him. So in just a moment, after I pray, we're going to have our time of invitation. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as others have done today and this week, pastors will be here. They'll be glad to introduce you to Jesus. You'll know whether or not you need to come and ask Jesus to come into your life, because there'll be a stirring within your soul that you can't explain. It's God drawing you to Him. If you'll just come to one of these pastors, they'll help you know how to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've not trusted in God's church, His word that you should be involved in a local church, and you've not joined a place and to be in fellowship with, this is your opportunity to do that. But tonight, for me, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. For you who are believers, would you just say, "Oh Lord, search my heart. Show me if my fears have overwhelmed me this week, so that I'm trusting that everything can be worked out, but I really haven't been turning to you." If that's so, would you just come to the altar and pray? Or right there where you are, maybe you want to kneel and pray and say, "Oh God, deal with my heart." There may be some who trust in horses and chariots, but Lord, this week I am going to trust in your name and everything that you represent and ask you for what I need. So we ask you to respond right after I pray. We're going to stand, we'll begin to sing, and that's an opportunity for you then to respond to Him. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've proved already this week, that people who have no purpose can trust in you and be filled with hope. Lord, thank you that you can change a person who has no idea what heaven is about, but you can give them a desire to want to go there, to want to fellowship with you. And you've done that in people's lives. Lord, I thank you for Dave, as we talked about, a man who trusted in his own strength, his own finances. And you revealed to him how you can become real in a deeper way than those things ever could. For me and for these, your dear people, would you examine our hearts right now? Give us liberty to respond to you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.